The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, gender, or body image. And that means you need to be a consenting adult to continue. Okay? Checking in. Are you good? Then let's go.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from preschool teacher and my dear friend and storytelling sidekick, Mosa Maxwell Smith. We are right up on our first live show. It's happening in about a week. Our first outdoor, fully vaccinated live show in person with faces and everything is happening on Saturday, June 19th. We're also going to be live streaming the show, so you can watch from wherever you are. And I got to tell you, the stories in this show make me happy. You know that thing where I get giddy, where I'm like, oh my God, this story, you guys, this story. We got a few of them in this show. People been saving it up. They've been creating stories despite the pandemic, and we're going to have them for you. Saturday, June 19th. The link to the tickets is in the show notes. Get yours right now. How are you marking the end of your global pandemic? Well, this week, as you know, I've been totally cooped up for months and months and months, seeing no one other than my partner and my dog. And I'm vaccinated, the world feels a lot safer, and I decided after 3 years of being invited to go to a CFNM feminist book club that's been going on. One of my storytellers created this 3 years ago, and I've always intended to go, but I haven't till Saturday. What's CFNM? It stands for Clothed Female, Nude Male. This started when a man put an ad on Craigslist saying that he wanted to be of service to women at parties, maybe tea parties, maybe a book club. He'd be nude, he'd serve cocktails, and he'd wait on women in whatever capacity was needed. Well, my storyteller decided that this was something maybe she should consider. So she started putting together this book club with the restriction that they could only read feminist authors. It's been going on for 3 years. I've been invited since the very beginning, but I've been doing this thing, that thing we all do, where I'm like, oh, I'm busy, I've got work, I don't have time, I can't really pause what I'm doing to go out and be social. Well, after so many months of not being social, I decided it was finally time. And after that much time alone in my house, I was really up in my head. Like, I've always been interested in social anxiety, but I'm living it right now. And it took a little work to get out of the house. The great thing was I invited a storyteller to join me there who'd never been so that she could be the reason that I had to show up. I couldn't back out. And it was so much fun. I will admit I was a little taken aback when a naked man opened the front door. That kind of, you have to get your brain ready for that. And when you haven't seen human beings, having the first one be naked, that's a lot. But it was so great. The people were fantastic. Nobody gave a shit about the book. We were just thrilled to be together in person. Michael, the male attendant, made special cocktails for us, and I had a drink in my hand within minutes of being in the front door. He told me he'd been hearing about me for years and was excited to finally meet me. And we introduced ourselves. Some people were on Zoom, Most people were there in person, and the people on Zoom were in other cities. That was an option if you were unvaccinated or if you weren't nearby. So we did have some attendees on Zoom. They said hi to everybody. We attempted to discuss the book for a few minutes, and then we just kind of veered off into loud, gregarious human interaction. At a certain point, I went back into the kitchen to get another drink, and I noticed that there were all these tubes of frosting in different colors on the kitchen counter. I asked Michael, the attendant, what's that for? And he said, sometimes the ladies like to write on me in frosting. And I'm like, oh, well, cool. Sign me up for that. As he made my drink, he lamented the fact that some people had to be on Zoom because they lived so far away and he felt like they couldn't interact the same way as everybody who was there in person, the energy of being there in real life. And I'm like, well, let's do something special for them. And I asked him to go lay down on the dining room floor. Remember, he's naked. I asked for permission. Do you care where I write in frosting on your body? Is it okay I get your stomach? And he's like, fine. And so I write the names of the missing people, the people who were on Zoom, to say hi in frosting on his body. And most of the frostings, I'm using green and pink and blue and white. Most of the frostings have a pastry tip, except for the pink. I asked him if it's okay if I put bunny ears on his dick. Is that okay with you? And he says, that's fine. And I draw the white outline of bunny ears on his stomach. And then I go to use the pink and fill in the inside of the bunny ear. But it comes out like toothpaste coming out of a tube. It's not a pastry tip. And it's kind of heavy and just kind of sitting on his stomach. It's not really adhering that well. And I say, hang on, I'll be right back. And I go into the kitchen and I start looking for a pastry brush so that I can kind of like feather it out, make it look more like the inside of a bunny ear. The only thing I can find is this red silicone, super nubby, it looks like little fingers, a pastry brush. And I come back and I said, okay, here we go. I'm going to smear it in. And as I start to smooth the pink inside of the bunny ears above his dick, he starts getting a hard on. And he's kind of shy about the fact that he's gotten a hard-on. And so I'm smoothing it, and others are watching. So he's kind of the center of attention. And eventually his dick gets so hard, it starts smearing the text that I've written. The names, the hellos, the bunny ears. It's all starting to get smeared as his dick gets hard. Which is kind of ideal, isn't it? I reprimanded him, look at what you did. I wrote that in great handwriting. It looked so good, and you've smeared it. You can't even read it anymore. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, go over to the Zoom screen and go show my hello to the women on Zoom. And they laughed when he walked into the living room where all the women were. You could hear these gales of laughter. You could hear screams as people got to examine him. That's the point. And look very closely at the message written on his naked body. I have to tell you, if you've not been out of your house in 15 months, this is the way to do it. I've always wanted to go to a CFNM party. It's one of the most requested stories that I get. And if you have a story about that, I'd love to talk to you about that because people are always asking me for this story. And I haven't had any story until this one. And it was pretty wholesome. It's a pretty wholesome story for body. It was fun. I had a blast. I got to meet a ton of new people. I got to be in a room with great energy. And I think I'm going to start going to this book club every month. That's how much I liked it. I guess I'm going to have to make time in my life to read the book too. I didn't read the book this time. But it was such a great way to celebrate the world opening up again. Go out there and make some adventure this week. Go start a feminist book club with naked men in attendance. Go do something you've always dreamed of. Isn't that what the world feels like right now? Like anything is possible? Like we've survived this major upheaval in our lives and we get to do a little reinvention? That's exactly how I wanted to reinvent my post-pandemic life. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uber Lube. Lube is pretty dang essential, isn't it? Lubrication reduces friction and increases comfort during sex, but lube is also multi-purpose. I've been thinking about travel again, and I always have some Uber lube in my suitcase because you can use it to stop chafing. Silicone lube is especially great to stop chafing on your nipples and your inner thighs. It's also great to shine your shoes, moisturize dry skin, fix flyaway hair, get a stuck ring off your finger, loosen a lock or a doorknob, use it as shaving gel to shave your legs in case you forgot it, use it as a makeup remover, moisturize your lips if you're out of lip gloss, fix a stuck zipper, and a whole lot more. Uber Lube's essential and it feels good. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. There's no flavor or scent, it's body safe, and it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. So if you're masturbating or having partnered sex, lube is a must-have. I love that Uber Lube is safe for all genders and body types. You deserve better sex, so here's some incentive. Right now, Uber Lube is offering Bawdy Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Uber Lube offers long-lasting performance, then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. Remember, that's 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. In-person life is on the horizon, so order a bottle of Uber Lube today. This has been Lube Facts with DIXIE, brought to you by Uber Lube. You know, if you and I were to meet each other, I'd probably like you right off the bat. But I want to tell you about somebody I liked from the minute I met her, and she's one of my favorite people to this day. When Mosa Maxwell Smith first discovered storytelling, she craved it so much that she started hosting story parties with friends in her living room. That was 2011, before the moth was even in the Bay Area. She is elated by the explosion of storytelling as an art form and connector of humans over the last decade, and has been privileged to perform regularly at a variety of venues, including Story Slam Oakland, the Mill Valley Library, and always a favorite, Bawdy Storytelling. She also tells stories on a daily basis in her role as a preschool teacher, though the content is usually slightly different and the audiences are smaller. Mosa is a devotee of connection and serendipity and is grateful to DIXIE DELA TOUR, hey, that's me, for bringing more of both to her life through the gift of Bawdy. When she performs on Bawdy stage, she's delighted to be out past bedtime on a school night and to be telling stories to someone other than her cats. One of my favorite humans on the earth, this storyteller is Mosa Maxwell Smith.
Okay, so I admit that talking about sex makes me a little uncomfortable, but I know one of the things that makes DIXIE a little uncomfortable, and that's hearing about sex stories involving adolescents. So thanks, Sinclair, for breaking the ice there, because I'm going there. The thing of it is, when you're an adolescent thinking about sex and having sex, you don't feel like an adolescent. You feel very, very grown up. And that's exactly how I felt growing up in LA, going to junior high school, and having a crush on Jesse Entreveros. He looked just like Jim Morrison. He had these long, dark curtains of hair that hung around his thick lips. He had tie-dyed shirts with Jimi Hendrix and the Stones on them. He looked vaguely stoned all of the time. Because he was vaguely stoned all of the time. And I loved him. I loved our sneak late night phone conversations under the covers in my bed, where we talked about how everyone was so lame for liking New Kids on the Block, and how we were amazing for understanding the Doors and what they really meant. He was the boy I fantasized about while I made out with my hand at slumber parties. And I even, in my soul, changed the lyrics to the Rick Springfield song Jesse's Girl to suit my own meaning. I wanna be Jesse's girl. No, nobody knows that song. Okay. Okay, good. So I loved him, but the thing of it was, I could not tell him that I loved him. It was junior high. You don't tell people that you love them. Instead, you pass them intricately folded notes about other people you have crushes on. Hey, Jesse, I'm in math. So lame. I, like, totally have the biggest crush on Dante. He is so hot. And Jesse would write back and fold the notes just as intricately.
Dude, I'll tell Dante you like him. I think Jen Malalepsi is so hot. Have you seen her ass today?
And we would, you know, commiserate about our crushes, the people that we loved, never once admitting that in our hearts we loved each other. The closest we ever came all through junior high was once on a group trip to the movie Kindergarten Cop, and our pinkies kind of accidentally touched and stayed there just a second too long. You know, it only takes that 1 second. Oh, but nothing ever happened. All through junior high, I was unfulfilled. And the summer after 9th grade, tragedy struck. I was babysitting, and the landline rang, and I had to pick up the phone, because that's what you did when you didn't have, yeah. And, hello, Jones residence.
Dude, Mosa, it's Jesse. I just got kicked out of summer school for selling pot to a narc.
He was going to go to continuation school, that place for naughty kids who got pregnant and did drugs and sometimes both together. And we were not going to be together, and I was devastated. I made lots of dramatic faces in the mirror. But it turned out to be a wonderful thing, because all teenage love is really based on angst, and our separation actually accelerated the forward progression of our relationship. By early in our 10th grade year, we were dating. Do you know how much I love saying to my friends, yeah, I have a boyfriend, but he goes to continuation school. I was pretty cool. And not far into 10th grade, I got the amazing news that every teenager hopes for. My parents were going out of town, and they were leaving me home alone. Yeah, I was so excited, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to lose my virginity to Jesse Ontiveros. Jesse also had plans for this magical night. I had never been stoned, so I couldn't fully understand him. And he thought that getting me stoned out of my mind for the first time would be the perfect thing to do. Neither one of us saw why these ideas might be incompatible. So we both prepared. I dug through that secret spot in my closet and found the condoms that my best friend and I had gotten at the health food convention her mother took us to a few years back. Condoms don't expire, right? Jesse also prepared for this event. He made a bong out of an Evian bottle and a Bic pen that had been gutted. He was so talented and creative. And finally, the big night arrived. I was so excited. I was nervous dancing around the house. My intestines were jumbled. But when I answered the door, I was like, hey, what's up? I totally played it cool, you guys. He did not know that I was freaking out. So we took the bong and we went in the backyard. And in my memory, there's like dry ice everywhere, you know. In reality, the only thing cloudy was the bong water. And after much mansplaining and a lot of coughing, I'm pretty sure I got stoned. And I know this because when we came back into the house, I looked in the living room mirror that my parents had over the fireplace, and I saw something I was amazed I had never seen before. Like, I had never realized how impossibly long it took for my eyelids to close and open every single time I blinked. I managed to pull myself away because I had a plan. I had an agenda. I was going to lose my virginity and be a grown-up, damn it. So I pulled him into my bedroom, where we proceeded to have a conversation about sex using no actual nouns. This thing I have, Okay, but this thing not ready. But make it so. Somehow, two stoned 15-year-olds managed to achieve penetration. I have to say, I wish it were wonderful. Like much teenage sex, it was anticlimactic, quite literally. Other than the Pink Floyd kind of gently pulsing in the background, the most memorable part was his hip bone digging into my thigh. And I didn't say anything because who was I to have desires or feel pain? And after we decided it was over, kind of arbitrarily, he left because curfew. And I was completely satisfied by this experience. It may sound now sad and depressing, but I had achieved my goal. I was no longer a virgin. I was a grown-up. And our relationship changed, where before we had to go out to coffee houses and drink black coffee and smoke cigarettes inside, because you could, right? We now felt comfortable staying home, and I embroidered on the fly of his jeans, "I love you," just so the two of us could know it while we watched a movie on the VHS. You know, before we had taken the bus to Venice Beach to buy incense, but now I borrowed the Volvo and took him to the tattoo parlor to get his first tattoo. Because I was a grown-up, you know, it was tribal with dolphins. That summer, I went away to sleepaway camp for 6 weeks up in the Bay Area. I wrote him long letters about how cool it was and how, unlike we had thought, Berkeley was really much cooler than the hate. It was amazing. I had this wonderful experience, but I got home and I could tell right away Jesse was over me. He totally dumped me. And I sobbed and drove around and listened to Tori Amos. If he knew how much Tori Amos I had listened to, he would have dumped my ass again. Like, Tori Amos almost dumped me. She was like, "Bitch, listen. I don't even listen to myself that much." Ah. And I started to reevaluate the relationship and my relationship with drugs. Like, I read all these books about Jim Morrison, who I was obsessed with, but I became utterly convinced that that one hit of marijuana would lead me to a heroin-induced coma on some dimly lit floor, you know? And I remembered some of the things he'd said that had been less exciting about sex, or excuse me, about drugs. Like, he said, "You could stop me, and I wouldn't feel it. In my arm, I mean." He'd also said, "You know, I can totally tell when someone's done acid, and your mom has, like, fully done acid." So I rebounded. I just started dating a Mormon. And I know. And I got married, thankfully not to the Mormon. I became a real grown-up. And many years later, I looked Jesse up on Facebook. I mean, of course I did, right? And he was so gorgeous. Same dark features, short hair now. I couldn't see the dolphin tattoo anymore because it was completely obliterated with two sleeves of tattoos and his entire chakra system tattooed up the center of his body. He looked really hot and amazing, and he also had a really hot and amazing-looking wife and a beautiful daughter, and I cried a little tear in my soul, but continued to smell around on Facebook. And finally, I caught a whiff of something really interesting. He was checking in at yoga classes more often, taking selfies with him and his daughter, posting pictures of his cat. The smell of someone single. Yeah? And so one night after one too many cucumber fizzes at a crafting party, I drunk dialed Jesse. I totally confessed to him that I wanted to redo that night of sad teenage lovemaking, and he confessed to me that that night had actually been his first time too, but he was too embarrassed to say it. He also told me he was sober and had been for several years at this point, and this began a correspondence. We were both, he was in LA still, I was in the Bay Area, and we were both in and out of relationships and never out at the right times that we could get together. Recently, he was having his 40th birthday, and he called me up, and he didn't ask me if he could come to see me. He informed me that he was coming up to the Bay Area to see me. We were both recently single, And he did. He drove up to see me on his 40th birthday. And I was so excited. I bought condoms like a real grown-up. I couldn't find those ones from the health food convention. And when I heard his car pull up, I squealed like a New Kids on the Block fan, and I opened the door and threw myself at him. And he said, dude, I haven't showered. Like, I took a yoga class before I came here and been driving for 6 hours. And I said, Jesse, I have waited 24 years to do this. I'm not waiting any longer. I want to lick every salty chakra on your body. And it was amazing. And this time, when he entered me, we locked eyes, stone cold sober, fully conscious of what we were doing. And it was fantastic. And some of it hurt. And I told him. And then I told him to do it again. And later, he put on Spotify, like really loud, funky dance music, the complete opposite of Pink Floyd, and we danced unselfconsciously in my living room for 2 hours. I made him dinner. We drank kombucha, because that's what grown-ups do. And I fell asleep in his arms that night because there was no curfew. The next day, we went on a walk around San Francisco like I'd always dreamed we would. Instead of looking for incense to buy, we were shopping for postcards for him to send his daughter. And at one point, Jesse reached down and he held my hand, and he held it in the exact same way he had when we were 15. And all of a sudden, I did not feel like a grown-up at all. And I was so fucking happy. Thank you.
Call me a good girl. Now it's all good, you misunderstood, girl. You the type to cook and read a book, girl. You don't go and flaunt it like you could, girl. You know you could, girl. She say she a good girl. Good. Ran away from me, I knew you would, girl. What? Get far away and leave, it's all good, girl. Say you could do better, you should do it, girl. I know you could, girl. Oh, but it's Jessie's girl. Hey. I don't wanna fall in love with Jessie's girl. Hey. She know that I want her, but it's Jessie's girl. Hey. Get my cake and eat it, sweet like tapioca and Topanga. I might take her when it's boy meets world. Hey. Same old story when it's boy meets girl. Hey. You know she can't stand me, I annoy myself. Hey. You should just ignore me, and I know that that's the homie, but she used to be.
Hello?
What?
Ju.
Yep.
Where you at?
On the way right now.
Mine? Oh, that's Jess's girl. I can't mess with her. Besides the fat hat, our homies won't have sex with her. That's a massacre. Skin so smooth, smell like lavender. Been a rocket ship for a passenger. I could play court, you could be the painter.
Boy meets world on the television. That was in the 90s. That's what we're missing. Now we're all just tunnel vision. We're too caught up in the deep end. We won't even let it seep in.
Oh, but it's Jessie's girl. Hey. I don't wanna fall in love with Jessie's girl. Hey. She know that I want her, but it's Jessie's girl. Hey. Get my cake and eat it, sweet like tapioca and Topanga. I might take her when it's boy meets world. Hey. Same old story when it's boy meets girl. Hey. You know she can't stand me, I annoy myself. Hey. You should just ignore me, and I know that that's the homie. But she used to be a good girl. Now it's all good, you misunderstood, girl. You the type to cook and read a book, girl. You don't go and flaunt it like you could, girl. You know you could, girl. She say she a good girl. Ran away from me, I knew you would, girl. Get far away and leave, it's all good, girl.
Say you could do better, you should do it, girl. You know you could, girl. Oh, but it's Jessie's girl. I don't wanna fall in love with Jessie's girl. She know that I want her, but it's Jessie's girl. Get my cake and eat it, need it. Sweet like tapioca and Topanga. I might take her when it's boy meets world. Same old story when it's boy meets girl. You know she can't stand me, I annoy myself. You should just ignore me, and I know that that's the homie, but she used to be my.
That song was Jessie's Girl by Good People. What's better than a toe-curling, eyes-in-the-back-of-your-head orgasm? Nothing. An Intensity by Pour Moi helps strengthen your orgasms by exercising your pelvic floor muscles. It is scientifically proven that a stronger pelvic floor can lead to stronger orgasms for vulva owners. An Intensity by Pour Moi can give you that strength. Intensity by Pour Moi is a sexual health and stimulation device that tightens and tones your pelvic floor muscles and your vagina, something that every cisgendered woman needs. It combines pelvic floor health, and with both internal and external vibration, it delivers a powerful orgasm. It's so much more than a mere vibrator. Intensity is like a trip to the gym for your pelvic floor. The natural process of childbirth, aging, and high-impact exercises can affect the health of the muscles that surround the vagina, causing them to stretch, lose tone, and tightness over time. Kegel exercises are important, but Intensity does them better by automatically exercising the muscles of the pelvic floor for you. You can naturally rejuvenate the vagina by tightening and toning the pelvic floor muscles for more intense orgasms. And not only will Intensity teach you how a properly performed Kegel feels, it also has a vibrating component for your pleasure. Right now, Pour Moi is offering Body Storytelling Podcast listeners $25 off of Intensity when you go to pourmoi.com and enter code DIXIE at checkout. And guess what? You can combine discounts, so go to their website and save even more. That's $25 off plus when you go to pourmoi.com and be sure to use the promo code Dixie. Intensity's Pour Moi from In Control Medical. It's the one device every vulva haver needs. It's Kegels with a kick. You've heard me talk about how much I love Patreon. I would not be here doing body storytelling and getting ready to return to live shows if not for my supporters, my patrons, on Patreon. If you join us right now on Patreon, you're going to get, at the $10 a month level, you'll get the live stream of our first live show back. That's in San Francisco on June 19th, so it's coming up really soon. We also have ad-free podcast episodes. I just placed a big order for custom butt plugs, and nothing makes me happier than saying those words. Things like that mean I can be myself. I can do the things that I love to do, that inspire me, that other people say are of value to them because they love body storytelling and they want to see us continue. Patreon is how that happens. Right now, go to patreon.com/body. Support us at whatever level you can, but remember, at $10 a month, you're going to get that live stream ticket. And there's so much more. We have great rewards, and I'm coming up with new ones all the time. If you have one in mind, let me know. I love working with you on coaching your own stories, on being your concierge and helping you make your dreams come true. All of those things are what I do 24/7. Help me continue to do that. Go to patreon.com/body, and thanks in advance for becoming a patron. That's our time together. We're at the end. But before I go, I want to say thank you to the team that make this podcast possible. Thank you to Donal Mooney, to Joe Moore, to Mosa Maxwell-Smith, who you heard on this week's episode, David Grossoff, and of course, podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 178 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. And I'll see you next week, pervert.